green light. I guess that's good. All right, we good there? All right. Yeah. Let's turn to Psalms 145. Psalms 145 here. Well, I really want to thank all the folks that cooked and prepared. I would usually say the ladies, but you never know. There could have been some male cooks in there that really enjoyed the meal today and the fellowship and enjoyed the whole day being with you here at the church. And just a real blessing. You can go travel a few hours and find people that believe like you do. Amen. And, you know, it's difficult to find where you can just, feel the Spirit of God moving and know you're in a good place. It's just a blessing. I've been in several churches when I was on deputation where, you don't experience that good unity and that one accordness. And it's good to be in a place where you can experience it. And I thank the Lord for the stand of this church all these years. And for keeping the place going, keeping the light burning here for this community. And we do want to be thankful for our soldiers. We worked with them for about 13 years. We was constantly involved in the military work in Germany, as well as to the German people as well. But the whole time the Lord just put us into it. We didn't know it was going to be that way, but when we got there, but that's what God just, he put us into it. And so we end up working with the American soldiers and with the German people both. And so it worked out. We had, even in the last work we had several German services come. And in fact, we had our high day at the church there. With the German service at the new work down in Grafenwehr-Vilsack area. And so it was a blessing, but we do appreciate our men, women, what they go through in the armed forces, the separation from family. I mean, there for a while the conflicts were going on, they wouldn't so much as get home, and then they were trained to go back again almost. And so just a lot of separation. It's a hardship on the families. And, war, we get into conflicts, but it is something we need to be mindful of our soldiers and what they go through. And then those who paid the, supreme sacrifice, we were able to say, as long as we were part of the churches there, we prayed for our men that was downrange and others that were given to us. We never lost one of our soldiers. Now, we got close to losing Brother Hobson. He said right next to the office, he's Sergeant Major, right next to the office he was in, there was a explosive went in the window. I think a rocket of some sort went in the window next to him, and it injured the guy pretty seriously next to him. But he said God was watching out for him. And as far as we know, that guy lived as well. But our men that we prayed for, God let them all come home, and I'm thankful for it. We appreciate the Lord doing that. And so we'll look at a little bit about praising our God tonight. He's worthy of all praise. Amen. I had this song in my heart. I couldn't get it together about some ships that accompany Jesus. You know, they talk about they get out on the water, there's some ships. Also a lot of small ships that accompany them as they crossed over, and I was going to preach on some ships that accompanied Jesus, but I couldn't get it together in time. But worship is one of those little ships, and lordship, and sonship, and followership, and leadership. You know, there's a lot of little ships that go along with following Jesus and staying close to Jesus. So I thank the Lord. I hope I can get that together now. Tell Brother Jacob when he hears this tape not to be putting that together. Amen. But yeah, that's a. Just a thought that the Lord had. Really, whatever the Lord gives him, we'll be glad for it. But he preaches a lot deeper than I do, so it'll be, mine will be the shallow one, and his will be the deep one. All right, Psalms 145 here, and we've really enjoyed the day. I appreciate, I really enjoyed all the time together, and so hopefully we'll be able to get a good safe trip home tonight. And we want to preach this thought that God's given us. We've wrestled with what to preach, and so I pray that this will be a blessing to you. And so if you want to stand together just for a moment, we'll read just a couple of verses here, and then I'll let you sit down and give you a little time to stand for a moment. I will, verse number one, Psalms 145, verse number one, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. All right, I'll let you be seated there. We'll look at a few thoughts from these verses here. But, I mean, the psalmist here is making a commitment, a vow to God, a commitment or a promise to God. He's going to do something. And he's going to bless the Lord every day. I tell you, you can always find something, even in the worst day, to thank God for and bless his name. I tell you what, he's been way good to us, more than we deserve all the time. And I mean, it don't matter what we go through, we're saved. Amen. We're going to heaven. No matter what we go through in this old world, we've got that settled. We're born again. We're going to heaven. I mean, there's nothing in this life that can separate us from the love of God. We're in it. Amen. We're a part of it. And we're a part of the family of God. I thank God that he reached down some years ago and saved me by his grace. About 32 years ago, he saved me by his grace. And he said here, the psalmist says, I will praise thee. I'll extol thee. That means to lift up, exalt, and shout it out. Amen. I'm glad we got something to shout about. I mean, we got something to shout about. We're not like this worldly crowd. You know, the worldly crowd, they'll go to these football games and sit out there in sub-zero degree weather. Amen. Paint themselves different colors and take their shirts off and watch people run up and down the field with a pigskin under their arm. And when they score, their team scores, they'll shout it out. And whoa, they'll say, what kind of fans? Look at these fans. I mean, they're dedicated. But you get out of the house of God and you want to rejoice a little bit for what God's done for you. You shout it out a little bit. They say, that's a bunch of nuts over there. Amen. Well, we got something to shout about. Amen. We got something to rejoice in. Now, he said, I will extol thee. I will lift thee up. I will shout about what you've done for me. Thank God. I want to praise the Lord to shine. That means that word praise means to shine, to make a show. I mean, praise, worship can happen in the heart. I believe that worship can happen in the heart. You know, you can be sitting here worshiping God and people say, well, I don't know what's going on. But you cannot praise God without it being out. It's an outward show. Amen. It's going to come forth and people's going to recognize it. He's praising God. Amen. That's what praise is. It shows forth. It comes out. It's going to come out on you. And so you can't praise God in your heart, really, without it coming out. I mean, if you start praising God in your heart, you start thinking about where God brought you from. Amen. Where you deserve to be in hell and where you would have been if it wasn't for Jesus. I thank God for the grace. Amen. God's amazing grace is in my whole family. It started with my grandpa. He got saved by the grace of God. God called him to preach. And then my granny, saved by the grace of God. And just a praying old granny, amen, get over there by the dishes and wash them dishes and sing them old songs of Zion. And one day it was raining a little bit and she started praying. She said, I just felt a burden to pray for Julie. She's driving to school and, you know, they had a wreck that morning, but God watched over them. Amen. He had old granny over there praying. Amen. And, I mean, we got grace in our family. God's brought us out. He brought us out of that horrible pit. He put us on a solid rock, put a new song in my heart. He praised our God. Amen. We got something to shout about. Amen. I'm glad that God has done so much for us. I was thinking about how he did. He gave me a good praying mama, and she had to do a lot of praying for me because I was out in the far country for many years. And I mean, 25 years old before I got saved. We got married when I was 22 and almost 23, and we still was lost, and we were going to church, but we were lost and undone. And I thank God that he had mercy, and he began to deal with my soul and show me something wasn't right and show me that I was a sinner. And finally, I really admitted it. I told my wife, I said, I believe I'm lost. And she said, well, you know what to do. And I said, yeah, I know what to do. I know what to do, but I was coming to the end of myself. I tell you, you've got to get down there where, you know, there's nothing else. There's no hope in anything else. Nothing I've done. It's not my works of righteousness, which I've done. According to his mercy, he saved me. And when I got to the end of myself, I finally got down. And I said, Lord, at Christmas Eve, I got down on my knees at 10 or 12, and I began to pray and ask God. I said, Lord, I'm lost. And I said, I need to be saved. And I called on the Lord. And I said, Lord, will you save me? And I prayed everything I knew to pray, and I couldn't get no peace. And I said, Lord, if I'm going to be saved, it's up to you. And you know what? He did to save me. I come to the very end. It was nothing I had to offer but myself to God, and he saved me. He changed me, and grace started working in my heart that day. And I'll tell you, I ain't been always what I ought to be, but I've been different ever since. Thank God, he saved me and put me on a new path. And I mean, I've been walking with God. I used to, it was a duty to go to the house of God. Then it became a desire to be in the house of God. I couldn't get enough. We was trying to go around to revival meetings in our area, come home from work, jump in the shower, jump into some clothes, and head to a meeting somewhere. Praise God, we couldn't get enough. God puts a hunger in your heart for the things of God when you get saved by the grace of God. I got a lot to praise him for. Amen. He gave me a family that wants to serve God. I thank God we got our family in the house of God. And I know they may not always be together, but my daughter's married and she's in a good place in the good church, and praise God, got a Holy Ghost filled preacher and that loves God. I thank God for what he's done for us. Amen. One of my grandsons is saved by the grace of God, and I believe he really got it. Amen. He's different. And now we're just waiting on Josh to get in. Amen. He'll be the next one, I believe. I believe God's got plans for them little fellas. And I believe that they're gonna follow in the footsteps of their grandpa, their great grandpa, and others in the family that love God. I just believe they're gonna go on with God. But there's some things that keep us from praising God. I don't know why our children of God have such a problem showing God a little gratitude for what he's done for us. But I believe one thing is pride. I believe God resists the proud, and as long as you got any pride in your heart, then you're too proud to praise God, then you got problems. Amen. God's going to resist you. He resisteth the proud. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be humble enough to be show some gratitude to him for what he's done. I tell you what, when I do something for my children, often, I mean, I don't expect it. But they'll come, they'll say, we go out to eat or something. They'll say, thank you, Daddy. Well, God's provided it all. I said, thank the Lord. Amen. He's given us the money to go out and eat every now and then. But I say, you know, I appreciate that attitude of thankfulness. And I believe our Father in heaven would like to hear a little gratitude every now and then from our hearts about we're thankful for all he's done for us. I mean, he's given us a place to live now. We're about to move back over there. We're moved in over there to the church now. We lived there before we left for the mission. Feel. And Pastor said, I believe it's God's will. Brother Randy said, believe it's God's will for y'all to move back over here to the house. And I said, well, we need to go somewhere. We've been living with our mom and daddy for about a year and a half now. And I said, I guess we do need to move over there. And we wrestled with it, but I believe it's the right thing for right now. We moved in over there to the church house, and he said, we don't have to worry about a thing. God's going to take care of everything. You just do what God wants you to do and stay with God. And so that's what we're doing. But we don't need to be too proud to praise him. And then some people, because of their position, they've got so high in a place of position that they're in, they can't praise God. Well, the devil was like that. He began to want to lift himself up, to exalt himself above the Most High God. He was in a good position. He was over the praise and worship team. Amen. I guess they're in heaven. And he got lifted up in pride. He began to think, I deserve the praise. I deserve the worship. And I tell you, there's one thing God's not going to share. He's not going to share his worship. Hey, Jesus said, we're going to worship the Lord our God. Not, and he's the only one we're worshiping, devil. And the devil, he's always desired to be worshiped like God. I tell you, his desire was wrong. His position, he got lifted up in his position, and God said, I'm going to cast you out, buddy. Yeah, you're not going to put up, he's not putting up with that, and he's not going to put up with it with us. When we put some of our position, we're so high and mighty in our position, we think we can't praise God. Amen. He's going to take that position right away from us and put us back on the pew. Amen. He's going to take us off the firing line and put us on the shelf. Now, I don't want to be on the shelf. I don't want to be on the shelf. I want to be used of God. And so if we let our position go to our head and think we deserve some pat on the back or something we're doing, amen, all we deserve is to go to hell, really. But God had mercy on us and saved us, and we ought to praise him, even though we get put into positions of leadership. Thank God that God's so gracious to let us get into it. But the devil got cast out down to hell, praise God, at the sides of the pit because he lifted himself up. And I tell you what, if we'll humble ourselves, God will lift us up. But if we exalt ourselves, he will abase us. And so that's exactly what happened to Satan. He lifted up himself and God abased him and he put him down real low. I tell you what, I don't want to be humbled by God. I want to humble myself. Amen. I don't want God to have to humble me. I want to take the opportunity to stay humble myself. And he said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. So we need to stay humble. And our position should not get exalted in our mind that we're something special. Our personalities are all different. Sometimes, you say, well, my personality, I'm not a big shouter. I'm not a big emotion guy or person. Well, God knows all about your personality. But I always tell this example when I preach around these lines. I say, now, if I took a bucket of ice water and poured it down your back, we'd get a reaction. Amen. When God gets all over you, there's going to be some kind of reaction go on. And I tell you, there's going to be some tears flowing, or there's going to be some kind of emotion if God gets a hold of you. You may be a reserved person there is. And my wife is a reserved person. Amen. She's very quiet. She's shy. She don't like to be called out. Even though I say she's praying for me to thin and my hair's falling out. Amen. She don't like attention drawn to her. But listen, she will praise God. I've seen her praise God before. And she'll praise him again, I know, because when God gets on her, it don't matter about our personality types. God is going to use us in the capacity we are, but we should not be ashamed to praise the Lord. We should never be ashamed. A lot of times we miss an opportunity to praise God. But he says here in the psalm, let's look at this for a few minutes here. I will extol thee, and I'll lift him up. And then verse number 2 says, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. I tell you what, we get down here to the house of God. We ought to have this is a perfect opportunity. You're in the perfect crowd. Nobody's going to be looking down their nose at you and say, look at that. They're making a fool out of themselves. No, we think we want to get in there and get involved with you. Amen. If you want to praise God, we want to get involved in it ourselves. Amen. It's kind of contagious. I thank God we can praise him. He's worthy of all our praise and he's worthy of all the honor. But why do we come today? We come to worship him. Hey, they've already seen you come in. They've already seen your car out there in the parking lot. You might as well have a good time. Amen. They know you're one of us. And so, praise God, we're going to worship him tonight. And we're going to praise his holy name. And we're going to lift him up. I will extol thee. I mean, this is magnifying his majesty. He's worthy of it. His personal demonstration of praise. He said, I'm going to demonstrate this praise. There's different ways of praising God, but I believe one way is lift your hands. I read a verse, I can't remember what was that. I saw Psalms 134, verse 2, about I will lift my hands in the sanctuary. And I said, we do that at our church all the time. Pastor will say, let's get up and just praise the Lord. And just thank you for saving you. And I said, well, he said right there in that verse, lift up your hands in the sanctuary, praise his name. I said, it's biblical. It's biblical. We're not being charismatic. Amen. It's biblical. Amen. Baptists have been praising a long time before them charismatics ever got started. Hey, they're not going to cheat me out of praising God and a blessing. I don't care. You know, they may make a comparison, but I'll tell you what. If they hang around long, they won't be making many comparisons. No charismatics around here. Amen. They'll be saying they're different than any charismatic. Praise God. Sometimes it's time to mourn, but sometimes it's time to have joy and shout and rejoice. And we ought to rejoice in the Lord every day, every day. I mean, even in the lowest times that we go through, we need to have a determination. He said here, I will. That's a determination. He said, I'm making a determination that I'm going to do it. Every day I will. I'm determined. I'm going to find something to praise God about. I'm going to bless His name. Amen. I'll tell you what. When good things happen, bless the Lord. When bad things happen, bless the Lord. He's in control. He's in charge of everything. There's not one thing that surprised Him today. He knew exactly what the weather was going to be, what temperature was going to be, if it was going to rain or be sunny. He knew everything we was going to face today. He knew what time we was going to get to church, every traffic, every problem on the way. Amen. If we had a flat tire on the way, He knew all about it. Hey, we should just praise the Lord. Good, bad, ugly, whatever the situation is, pretty, we should praise the Lord. Every day He said, I will. He determined that He will do it. He made a vow, a determination, a fixed purpose. I'm going to praise God. We've got to do that. We got to find in ourselves, I will bless thy name forever and ever. It was a persistent devotion. He's going to bless the name of the Lord forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. There's many reasons we could praise Him today, but we need to determine to find those reasons. I want to look at a few of those reasons, and then I'll be done, and I'll let you go. Amen. All right. Number one here is our great God. Verse number 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. I tell you, when you start thinking about the great things God has done, I mean all through the history. First of all, He made heaven, earth, and sea, and all that therein is. Amen. He's a great God. I tell you what, this evolution crowd, they ain't got a clue what to do. I tell you what, they start saying, well, this come from this, this come from that. Well, where did this stuff come from that made this and that? Amen. God made it. That's where it all come from. I tell you what, they're looking for a lie because they don't believe the truth. Because if they believe the truth, they're going to have to get right with God, and they don't want to admit they're sinners. It's where it all comes down to. They want to take away the Ten Commandments out of schools, out of the courthouses. They don't take the Bible out of school. They don't take prayer out of school. They don't take anything to do with God away from the public. And they want to, where they won't have to have the bad feelings. So they will have the feelings of conviction. That's what they say. That's what they should just say, because that's exactly what it is. Our God's a great God. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He's omniscient, omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. And He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everything. He's our great God. I tell you what, He made heaven and earth. And all there is, He's a great God. There ain't nobody like Him. He does something for me nobody can do. I love my grandpa. He's a good preacher, a good man of God. And I tell you, he loved me. He told me one time, I was there at his house, and I was about 12 years old or something. He said, son, go up on that roof and jump off to me. And I said, how do you get up there? I'm going to go up there because Grandpa said that he's going to catch me. And so he said, I just wanted to use that for an example, son. I was going to tell him about faith. And said, he believed I would catch him. He said, I was going to tell you to jump off of it. He believed I would catch you. Well, God's telling us just to exercise a little faith in Him, amen, and believe Him today. For His great God, He is not going to let us down. He has never let me down one time. Amen. He's a great God, and He's greatly to be praised. Everything about Him is great. He's never failed me, not one time. He's never let me down. I've never been sorry. I've trusted Jesus. We say this song in church all the time. I've never been sorry. I can say for a fact there's things I've been sorry for. I've been sorry for a lot of things I've done. I've said a lot of things I've said I've been sorry for. But there's one thing I've never been sorry for, that I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never been sorry I trusted Jesus. Amen. I'm glad I got a great God. I'm glad I bow down. I can lay my head down tonight, and I know my great God's going to take care of me. Amen. I mean, He has His way in the whirlwind and the storm. And I tell you what, it can be stormy weather. We was up there in Oklahoma one time, and we was traveling through before we went to Germany. Maybe it was only his first term back. And after we'd been in Germany 3 years, we had to run out there to Oklahoma, had church that supported us. We had never even met us. Brother Mack took us on the camp meeting. So we went out there, and Brother Max said, the reason I got this TV in the house is he said, to watch the weather. He said, we're in Tornado Alley here in Moore, Oklahoma. And you know, when we was in Germany a few years ago, I looked and on the internet, and they said, Moore, Oklahoma is wiped out. I mean, it got hit, but you know what? The church is still going on. I don't think it hit the church. I think it missed the church. God's in charge of that stuff. Amen. There's not stuff out of His control. He is in control. They kept supporting me. Amen. All these years they've been supporting us. But I thank God. I thank God for these churches that keep supporting us through all the troubles that goes on. It's because we have a great God. Then it says, one generation shall praise thy works to another in verse number 4. And shall declare thy mighty acts. I'll tell you what, my granddaddy's told me some things that I don't even know if I can tell y'all or not. Amen, because I don't know if you'll believe it. He said, I've seen God do things in His power and His demonstration when He is preaching a revival somewhere. He said, I've seen God move in there and power. The power of God just fall upon that place. And He's telling me about the great. You know what He was doing? He was creating a little hunger and a thirst in me. To see the power of God as in days of old. Amen. He's telling one generation, telling another. And I want to tell my youngins, amen. We've seen God do it before and He'll do it some more. Amen. Brother Blue always used to say that. God done it before and He'll do it some more. Amen. And He will. God will. He's a great God we serve. He's not a little puny weak idol. We're not bound down to a God that has eyes that cannot see and ears that cannot hear and a mouth that cannot speak and hands that cannot touch. He has all those things and He does all those things. He's a mighty God. He's a great God. And I want my kids to know, I believe God has done great things for me. He saved me by His grace. He put me in the work of God. He's put me in the family of God. He sent me to Germany. We went under obedience to His command. He called me out. I mean, a country boy there in Georgia. Hadn't never been on an airplane before. Hadn't never been out of Georgia, hardly. I've been out of Georgia very little before we got called into ministry. Hadn't never been away from my wife, but maybe 2 days. And I said, I'll never do that again. Amen. Boy, I was wrong. I lied right there. Amen. Because when we went on our first trip with Brother Blue, I was gone for 4 or 5 days in a row. I didn't like it then either. But then when we got on the mission field, I mean, it was like 9 weeks first time we had to stay apart. And then it was 7 months when I had to relocate, get in another place. I tell you, it was a rough time. But the Lord's let me taste a little bit of what them soldiers go through when they separate from their family, where I'd have a little more compassion towards them. They separate for a year, 15 months at a time sometimes. And got 2 weeks. Even though they go to 15 months, they don't get no extra 2 weeks. They get 2 weeks out of 15 months to see their family. That is not good. Amen. And I tell you what, God's let me taste a little taste of it. And I didn't like it. But there's men that they have to do that for their job's sake, for the protection of our country. And so they do it. Thank God for them. It makes me love them more and appreciate them more for doing that job. But anyway, we have a wonderful God. He's a great God. And I will speak and give glorious honor to thy majesty and thy wonderful works that He has done. Wonderful works. You know, I think about those judgments He put on Egypt. That was a wonderful works of God. That was a manifestation of God's power. He judged all them false gods there. I mean, he sent the blood on the river and the frogs. And I mean, one more night for the frogs and all the lice and the disease and pestilence and murmur. We got a little pestilence going right now. Amen. Locusts and the darkness. I tell you, the darkness so you could feel it. Now, I tell you, have you ever experienced that kind of darkness? I'll tell you what happened. To me, I mean, I was driving following my uncle. I went to work with my uncle, and we worked in Georgia Marble, and they got these mines. And every now and then, something would break down in the mines, and we'd have to go down there. This is my first trip down in the mines. And I'm following my uncle, and I'm in the truck, and we go in there, and as soon as you break the line in front of the cave, you're in total darkness. I went like this. I could not see my hand in front of my face. I said, man, I don't like this. All I could see is where my headlights were shining. And I was trying to follow him. And so we went so far, I was wanting to turn around. But I knew I'd get lost. Amen. I couldn't find my way out. That stuff, it gripped me. That darkness. I did not like it. But, you know, we got down in there, got out of the truck, and I told Uncle Mars, I said, Uncle Mars, I said, when we first went in here and I seen that darkness and I couldn't see my hand in front of my face, I said, I wanted to turn around. And that is the way a lot of people are when they go into that mine for the first time. But once you get down there, and up top side, it's 90 degrees. Down there in the bottom, it's 60 degrees. You know what? He said, ain't there something going to break down in those mines? We can go down in the cool darkness one more time. I tell you what, and they got lighting down in there where you can see. And we worked on pick up those big fans, broke down or something. We get them fans lifted out and unbolt them and unloose them and get them out of there. Take them out and work on them and then take them back in and remount them. But, you know, that darkness, that's the way it was there. They could feel the darkness. It was so bad. I tell you what, this world is getting that dark. It is dark. I mean, there's very little, but you know what? In the darker the night, the brighter the little light. And I tell you, there may be just a few of us left that stand with the stuff and believe in old-time religion. There ain't everybody that got a worship center. Everybody ain't got these new revolution churches going on. There's still a few independent Baptists that still shine the light of the glorious gospel. And we're staying by the stuff. We're not changing. Amen. And we're staying with God. I tell you, thank God for people who have stayed by the stuff and have not left. And I want to see another generation. I want to see another generation come home. But we see the greatness of our God. Then we see the goodness of our God. In verse number 7 of Psalm 145, it says, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. Amen. And shall sing of thy righteousness. Our God is good. He said in Exodus, the Lord said to Moses, Exodus 33, 19a, and he said, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee. And he hid him in the cleft of the rock. And I'll tell you, the psalmist said this in Psalm 27, 13, I had fainted. I mean, I was quitting. I'd give up. I was fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I tell you, the goodness of God's what keeps us going. Amen. He is so good. He cannot be bad. He is good. Amen. The Lord is good. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. He's good. He is a good God. I tell you what, he's been good to me. I tell you, I don't deserve all the goodness he showed towards me, but he has been good. He is long-suffering. And it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. I tell you what, when God's having to correct me as a child of God, before I got saved, it was the goodness of God. I mean, I heard Grandpa tell story after story about how God saved old sinners. And I knew when I got in that condition, he'd save one more. It was the goodness of God. Grandpa talked about how good God was. Yes, God's God of judgment, God's God of wrath, but he's a good God. He wants to help you. He don't want to leave you in that mess. He wants to rescue you out. He wants to take you out of the horrible pit. He wants to help you. He's a good God. Our God is a good God. He's a good God. And he cannot do any wrong. Amen. He always does right. There's not one time that he did a bad thing. He's always been good to me. And it's the goodness of God that led me, but it's the goodness of God now as a Christian that leads me to repentance. I mean, when I God don't have to beat me back. When I mess up and I do wrong, I think about how God's been good to me, and here I have fouled up again. I tell you, it's the goodness of God that leads me back to that altar and said, I want to get right. I don't want to do this to my good God. He's been great to me. He's a great God. He's a good God. And he's full of goodness. He's a good God. And our God is gracious. The Lord is gracious, it says in verse number 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Thank God for his grace. Here comes Jesus. They used to sing this song. I wish we had a copy of this. I'd love for the kids to learn this song. There's a couple out of Brother Crumpton's church. I don't know. You may know them. I don't know their names. I can't remember them. They come to the church. They were missionaries. I believe they were missionaries. And he played the guitar. And they say, here comes Jesus with his grace again. just the time I needed. I said, that's the only thing I can remember the whole song. But I said, man, I'd like to have that copy of that song. Because here comes Jesus with his grace again, just the time I needed. He's always right on time, and he's got a bucket load of grace with him. I tell you, it's the grace of God that brought salvation to me. For the grace of God that brings salvation that appeared to all men. I tell you, it's all by grace. I mean, God saved me by his grace. I serve him by grace. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I couldn't do nothing for the grace. And how did he get that grace? Is he humbled himself. And God resists the proud but giveth grace to the humble. And when he humbled himself and he stayed humble and he stayed humble under the mighty hand of God, God just took that grace and poured it out on him that he might acceptably reverently serve God. He said that little verse is in Hebrews 12. I can't remember the exact verse, but it said, let us have grace. That means we sometimes need to appropriate some grace. We need to ask for it. God, give me a little grace that I might acceptably serve you. We need it. I tell you, Saul of Tarsus, when he got saved, he became Apostle Paul. He said, I need grace. And God just dumped it out on him. His grace is sufficient. Look at it. Let's look at this verse here. Of course, grace. Let me hit this before I go. That grace of God there that brings salvation, it teaches us some things. To live godly in this present world. Amen. To live, to deny ungodliness, worldly lives, but live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. That's what it is. Amen. So that grace of God that saved me is teaching me some things about how to live. And it's living grace. And God said, I am gracious, and I'm going to give you the grace to have a Christian life. If you need it, appropriate it. Ask God for it. He'll pour it out on you. The same grace that saved you is the grace that will lead you on to a godly, holy life. It's sufficient grace. Let's look at this. 2 Corinthians 12:9. 12:9. I sound that like Ohio with nine there. Hey, man, the German called me, and she turned there to that scripture. A German called me. I was trying to get an electrician to come to the house. And he said, I want to come at 8 in the morning. I said, 9. And he, you know what that means? That's no. What I meant was 9 o'clock. Can you come at 9 o'clock? Because I knew I was going to be going to work and Patricia's going to be there and I wanted to be ready to receive him, you know, and everything. And so he didn't show up. And so I called him and I said, I think we got a miscommunication here. I said, when I said 9, I meant 9 o'clock, not 9, no. But my wife was making fun of me because we had a stimulate from Ohio and Brother Struhl from Ohio that worked with us in the German work, and they said 9, and I got to say 9 like they say 9. And they said, she said, you sound like a Yankee. But anyway, here in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and I say it like a southerner now again since I got away from them fellas. But he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When I am weak, that's when I get that bucket load of grace I need. God is going to send that grace right on time, right every time, exactly what I need. Grandpa said that God had a measuring stick. His measuring stick's according to thy need. He said he's got a measuring stick, and he said according to thy need is his measuring stick. Whatever you need, God's got grace for it. He'll not give you too much. It's not going to be over. It's going to be exactly what you need every time. And his grace is sufficient. Amen. Thank God. I said, Grandpa, thanks for telling me that. He said that grace, that measuring stick of grace is according to thy need. Amen. I like that. And it's been several years ago when he told me that. But when we get burdened down and broken down and bowed down, that's when God's going to bless us. When I'm weak, that's when I'm going to be strong. Amen. Just go on, and the lower you get, Paul said, go ahead, pile it on, devil. Go ahead, send the persecutors. Go ahead, because the lower I get, the weaker I get, the more grace God's going to give me. He said, I will rather glory in my infirmities, because I know that God's going to give me grace. He said, my grace. So he's praying to get rid of that thorn. And God said, oh, my grace will be sufficient for that thorn. Don't worry about them messengers from Satan going to try to bother you. Don't worry about that. I got grace for it. And he said, I will rather glory in those infirmities now. Boy, that changes his attitude, didn't it? It's because the grace of God is sufficient. Last, not least here, he said, our God is a glorious God. He's a glorious high priest. He said in verse number 17 of Psalms 145, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. Yes. And holy in all his works. Yes. In verse 18, the Lord is nigh to all them that call upon him, and all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. He saved me out of a lot of trouble. He's a glorious high priest. He's hearing my cry. Tell you what, he is a glorious high priest. He's never failed to hear our prayers if we're praying according to his will. Amen. Call upon me, he says, and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things that thou knowest not. I tell you, God just wants us. He's asking us to call upon him. And then pastor says, ask, ask, and you shall receive, and knock shall be opened to you. Amen. Seek and shall find. He always tells us these things. We need to be seeking the Lord. We need to be asking. He said, you have not, for you ask not. There's a lot of things we miss out on. God's just waiting for us to ask him. He's got it right up there. He said, here, I've got this right here waiting for you. I'm a glorious high priest. And we just think we can handle it on our own. We don't even ask for some assistance from God. We just go ahead. We're so self-sufficient sometimes when we need to be dependent upon God. But he's a great high priest. He wants to help us. And there's many other verses here, many other things that could be said about our God. He's a great God, but he's worthy of all our praise. Thank God for his greatness. Amen. For his graciousness, for his, he's great, he's good, he's gracious, and he's glorious. He's a great God. We serve a mighty God. We serve a great God. I tell you, he's been so good to me. I'm glad that, he's made me some promises in this Bible. And I tell you what, he's never failed to keep one of his promises. Never failed. And so we're going to have a song of invitation if you need to come pray. And we'll have Brother Mitchell and Sister Mitchell come. If you need to pray about anything, and just praise the Lord and thank him for something he's done for you, whatever you need to do, you come pray.